just strikes me again how wonderfully encouraging it is to stand in the midst of God's people as you sing so well, as we sing together in worship and in praise. So thank you for just being part of that. It is an encouraging thing to be in the midst of God's people singing his praise. Can you turn with me to John chapter 16? Again, I apologize for the senior moment to put the wrong chapter heading in the bulletin. John chapter 16, and verses 5 to 16. Jesus has spent 3 years with his disciples. During those 3 years, he has gently coaxed them and cajoled them along the way. He has taught them. He has shown them. He has corrected them. He has at times had to rebuke them. And they're ever so slowly beginning to move forward. And as you read through the Gospels, you see this progression in the understanding and the living out of that understanding in the lives of the disciples. They're slowly beginning to move forward. Jesus speaks to them of their need to be united with them, with him. And in the midst of that, he makes this remarkable claim. He simply says, and this is back in chapter 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And there it was left for them. Now, if that's the case, that they can do nothing apart from Jesus, it's important that they stay close to him. It's important that they keep him within sight. It's important that he's always at hand. Because apart from him, you can do nothing. And then, the beginning of this little passage that Ron read for us, Jesus says, now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. Disciples filled with grief, anxious, because Jesus says he's going away. The Jesus who has already said, apart from me, separated from me, you will do nothing of any great importance. Now Jesus says, I'm going away. And they're filled with grief. They're not so much concerned with where Jesus is going, but they are concerned as to what will happen to them. If we can do nothing without you, Jesus, and you go from us, what's going to happen? Where do we go from here? Apart from you, we can do nothing, so what now? They are still dependent on Jesus, still dependent upon his death, his glorious resurrection. That can never be redone. That can never be replaced. They are still dependent on Jesus. Yes, he will go away, but Jesus makes it clear that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. The Holy Spirit will come. And Jesus teaches clearly that his saving work on the cross, when he dies on the cross for you and for me, that saving work on the cross was necessary before the sending of the Holy Spirit. In the church calendar, next Sunday is known as Trinity Sunday, when we remember our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this three in one, this mystery of God that we struggle to understand. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But whatever our understanding of that is, we cannot pick and choose. We're not given three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you can pick any two you want. Our God is three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity. And we can easily become unbalanced in our Christian living if we focus more on one part of the Trinity than we do in the other. So if we focus entirely upon the work of Jesus on the cross and forget about the work of the Holy Spirit, we become unbalanced. But if we focus entirely on the work of the Holy Spirit and forget about what Jesus has done on the cross, then we become desperately unbalanced as well. Jesus calls us to be balanced in our Christian living. He has gone away, but he has left us his Holy Spirit. The cross was necessary before the Spirit was sent. We still need to be in union with Jesus, but we also need the work of his Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, we remember the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. Sometimes we talk about this as being the birthday of the church. And maybe in one sense it is. And yet, when we understand the church as God's people, the church goes way back before Pentecost. Goes way, way back to Abraham, God's people. But on this day, we remember that God pours out the gift of his Holy Spirit upon his church. And that church is changed. What's the Holy Spirit up to? What is he doing in your life, in my life, in our life? Well, Jesus makes it clear. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit, and it sounds like an old-fashioned thing to say, is to convict us of the guilt, of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. That's verse 8. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. We don't naturally see our own sinfulness. During the week, I treated my trainers to a new pair of laces. That's interesting. Ironically, I brought my trainers in a perfume bag, which they're a bit obvious. I wore them one day during the week, and somebody said to me, "See, you've got new laces, Stephen." You know, how do you work that out? Yeah, well, it's obvious. The trainers didn't look too bad until those nice, white, clean laces went onto them. But as soon as you put the nice, white, clean, new, shiny laces onto them, you see just how grubby the rest of the trainers are. There's something about us that we don't think we're too bad. We don't look too bad until we see ourselves against the purity of Jesus Christ. We don't look too bad until we see ourselves in the light of his righteousness, and then what seemed to us to be white is far from white. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us, not of our grubby trainers, but of our sinfulness, to show us that we are sinful people. We don't naturally see it. It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to highlight the sin in our own lives. But thank God he doesn't leave us there. We would be in a real mess if the only thing that the Holy Spirit did was to show us where we're wrong, where we're sinful people. Because Jesus goes on to say part of it is to do with righteousness. Not only does he show us our sinfulness, but he shows us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not only does he show us our grubbiness, he shows us the purity and holiness of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit drives us to Jesus. When we are convicted of sin, when we realize we are sinful people, we will either rot in that or we will be driven to the Savior. There doesn't seem to be any other alternative. And the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus in his righteousness. The Holy Spirit also shows us the end of all things, the defeat of Satan, judgment that Jesus talks about. Not simply a matter of power of God being bigger and stronger than Satan, some sort of spiritual arm wrestling competition that goes on and God wins. It's a matter of justice. At the end of the day, justice will be done. Satan will be defeated. Judgment will come. The work of the Holy Spirit brings all these things together, pointing out the sin in our own lives, pointing out the righteousness of Jesus given to us through his death on the cross, and pointing out that at the end, justice will be done. We can't see the Holy Spirit. We can look around. I don't think you'll see him. But he's at work. Because, just like earlier, you can see what he's doing. One of the exciting things around here at the moment is just the way that God is at work in lives. Lives that are touched in different ways, and you see people coming to realize, you know what, I need the Savior. It's a lovely thing. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see him at work. You can't hear the Holy Spirit, but or you can't see him, but you can hear what he's doing as people begin to talk about Jesus. Over the past couple of months, we've run a Christianity Explored course here, and it's just been a delight, a thrill, a joy to be part of it, to listen to people talking about Jesus in their own lives, in their own way. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see what he's doing, and you can hear that he's at work. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit to continue to live in Christ's teaching. We need the continual help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. More than you can understand, more than you can cope with at the minute, there is more to learn. But part of that work of the Holy Spirit is in leading you forward into all truth. People sometimes ask, is it right to ask questions? Is it okay to have doubts about my faith? Of course it is. Of course it is. We're human. We're not infallible. We don't totally understand. But if we open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, as we ask genuine questions, as we seek God's answer, the Holy Spirit leads us deeper and deeper and deeper into his truth. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. Apart from me, you can do nothing, said Jesus. And that continues. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing either. The work of the Holy Spirit is to promote the glory of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is almost in some ways the shy member of the Trinity who brings no attention to himself but throws all the attention onto Jesus. If you're driving down the Coleraine Road, the Atlantic Road here at night, you'll see this building beautifully illuminated. And lots of people comment on it to me how well it looks. And we are blessed of a beautiful building. But nobody has ever said to me, Stephen, you've got some lovely floodlights in that church. They've commented that the floodlights light up the church beautifully. It's an illustration of the work of the Holy Spirit. Not so that we would look at the Holy Spirit and say how wonderful the Holy Spirit is, but through the work of the Holy Spirit, our eyes are continually directed to Jesus. Give him the glory. And we comment on him. The Holy Spirit is at work in you and me. And the glory goes to Jesus, not to him. Can you see the Holy Spirit? No. Can you see and hear what he's doing? Yes, you can. And it's happening all around us. As lives are changed and transformed, as people open their lives to the Savior, you can see the work of the Holy Spirit. You can hear that he's at work there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, that was Jesus reminding us of the foundation on which we build, but it's true also of the Holy Spirit. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit within us, we can do nothing of any importance. Yes, we will do lots of things. We will fill our days. But nothing of eternal importance will ever be done if we try to do it on our own. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Shall we pray together? Lord, you know all that goes on in us and around us. You know, Lord, how we think that our lives are squeaky clean. And yet, in reality, they're grubby with sin. You know, Lord, that we think we can sort things out ourselves. And yet, in reality, we can't. And so, with your people down through the ages, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Do your work in us and through us. Bring glory to Jesus, we pray. Amen.